Well, good morning. The Easter Sunday scripture reading from Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10, the resurrection of Jesus. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly, with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers and sisters to go to Galilee. There they will see me." This is the word of the Lord.
Let us bow our heads and let's pray together. Almighty God, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for the resurrection of your son, Jesus. Thank you for new life, new beginnings, the fact that it's never too late to change. May your spirit open our hearts and our minds this morning to receive your message of transformation. Will you bless us now with your word? And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Julia Child didn't even start cooking until her late 30s, and she was 50 when she published her first cookbook. Samuel Jackson was 46 years old and in recovery from addiction when he finally landed his breakout role in Pulp Fiction. By age 65, Harlan Sanders was broke, and his restaurant had failed due to a new interstate bypass, and he felt like his life's work was over. But instead of giving up, he used his first Social Security check to start franchising his chicken recipe, and that became Kentucky Fried Chicken, and he became Colonel Sanders. America's greatest president at age 51, one of the greatest, Abraham Lincoln, faced a long list of failures, including business bankruptcy and multiple lost elections. And we've all had those moments where we felt like the door had finally clicked shut. Maybe it was for you a business venture. Maybe it was a relationship where the silence grew too loud to bridge. Maybe it was a dream you tucked away about a decade ago. Maybe a habit that you've tried to kick so many times that you finally just accepted it's maybe part of your DNA. When things fall apart, our natural instinct is to shelter in place. We freeze. We hunker down in the familiar tomb of our own making because we think the story is over. Fortunately, God's timing is not our timing. Just as the world thought the story ended on Friday, Easter shows us that Saturday, a Saturday of waiting or failure, doesn't mean Sunday isn't coming. And I think of the disciples on that Saturday after the crucifixion. To them, it wasn't just a bad day, it was the end of the world. They had seen the stone roll into place. They knew the physics of death. It's heavy, it's cold, and it's final. And they likely felt it was too late for Jesus, and certainly too late for the movement they had staked their lives on. I hope not, but maybe that's the way you feel today. Because if we're honest, we will admit that many of us are carrying around too late stories. It's too late for my family to heal. It's too late for me to find a purpose. It's too late for our society to find a way back to compassion. Even as a church, you know, we sometimes look at the empty pews, not today, but other days, or the changing world, and we whisper, is it too late for us to do a new thing? The one thing we focused on over the last 6 weeks is that it's not too late. That change is possible. It's not too late for a change of heart. It's not too late to choose life. It's not too late to take ownership of your life. It's not too late to live differently. It's not too late to stand up and stand out. It's not too late for a new commandment of love. And it's not too late for us because it's not too late for God. And through Jesus, we are assured that it's not too late to change. Because God does not give up on us, ever. In this passage from Matthew, we don't see a quiet and static scene. We see a resurrection movement. We see God on the move. And it says in verse 2, suddenly a strong earthquake struck, and the Lord's angel came down from heaven, and he rolled away the stone and sat on it. So Matthew describes an earthquake, a descending angel, and the stone being rolled back. And in verse 6, the angel says, come see the place where he lay, and then go quickly and tell his disciples he's been raised from the dead. So notice the, you know, the verbs the angel uses. It says, come, see, and then go quickly. You see, resurrection is not a static event that we just look at. No, it's a force that propels us forward. And as we conclude our series of It's Not Too Late, we see that God is always on the move. It's never too late to change and choose life because God is already ahead of us. Now, the beauty of this story is that resurrection is God's work. The women didn't roll the stone away. The disciples didn't jumpstart Jesus' heart. That was a divine disruption. And so if we rely on our own strength, it might be too late because we run out of steam, we run out of patience, we run out of hope. But as people of faith, we do not rely on our own power. So let me go a little deeper into this for you. In verse 5, the angel said to the women, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. For I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. For he has been raised as he said. Don't be afraid. This command to not be afraid is not just a polite reassurance. It's a fundamental shift in reality. So it's important to notice what fear represented in that moment and what the resurrection did to it. In the passage, we see two distinct types of fear. It says the soldiers guarding the tomb shook with fear and they became like dead men. Their fear is a dead end. It paralyzes them. It represents the old world order, where power is maintained by the threat of death. And when something bigger than death appears, that power completely collapses. Verse 8 tells us the women left the tomb quickly. They were afraid, but they were also very happy. They ran to tell Jesus' followers what had happened. The women are also afraid, but their fear is described as fear and great joy. Fear as awe. And this is the trembling of a new world being born. It's the feeling of realizing that every fact you knew about the world, that the dead stay dead, that the Roman Empire wins, that hope is a liability, all of that has just been proven wrong. Two different kinds of fear, two different reactions to God's power. And so when the angel and Jesus both command, do not be afraid, it's because the resurrection stripped fear of its greatest weapon, finality. Fear gains its power from the belief that a loss is final, that a mistake is permanent, or that a door is shut forever. By rising from the dead, Jesus proves that God has the final word, not the tomb. And when Jesus says, do not be afraid in verse 10, he's speaking as the one who's already journeyed through the absolute worst human fear. He says, I've been there. I've experienced torture. I've experienced abandonment. And I've experienced death, and I've come out on the other side. He isn't telling them to ignore their feelings. He's telling them that their feelings no longer report the ultimate truth. Do not be afraid is a call to movement. And I want you to take note of something else we see here. When the angel and when Jesus says, do not be afraid, it's immediately followed by an instruction to move. Do not be afraid, go quickly and tell. Do not be afraid, go and tell my brothers. In the logic of the resurrection, the antidote to fear isn't just feeling safe, it's participation, it is movement. God invites us to move even while we are trembling. The truth of the resurrection is we don't have to wait for the fear to vanish before we start the work of new life. We act because the outcome is already secured in Christ. So what does that mean for us today? You see, for you and me, Do not be afraid means that it's never too late to repent or to change. And often we are afraid to face our sins, to face our failures, because we're terrified that they will define us, that they will destroy us. The resurrection tells us that we can look directly at our tomb of the past and not be destroyed by it. Why? Because Jesus has already emptied it. Fear says it is finished. The resurrection says, I'm beginning a new thing. And when we hear, do not be afraid, we're hearing the invitation to stop defending our dead places and start walking toward our Galilee. Because Jesus is already going ahead of you to Galilee. Jesus is already waiting for you there. He's already in your Galilee, your workplace, your broken home, your grieving heart. Jesus has defeated the power of sin and death, which means you can face your past without fear that it'll destroy your future. So I want to ask you, where in your life have you written too late across the door? If you truly believe that the worst thing that could happen to you, death, has already been defeated, what is one fearful step of faith you would take today? What is one small step you can take this week to act as if the resurrection is true? What possibilities open up for you if the stone is already rolled away? Because repentance and turning around and change isn't a scary judgment. It's a resurrection opportunity. It's an invitation to stop staring at the tomb and start walking toward Galilee. Because no matter where the disciples go next, Jesus has already been there. No matter where you go next, Jesus has already been there. You aren't walking into an unknown future alone. You're walking into the future that the risen Christ has already prepared. The reassurance of the resurrection is that we don't have to find our way back to a perfect past. We just have to meet the Jesus who's already standing in our future, waiting for us to catch up. So is it too late for this church? No. Is it too late for you? No. Is it too late for our community? No. The resurrection says no. Easter and the resurrection is not a story about something that happened 2,000 years ago. It's the amazing news that the living God is active right now. It's not too late for us because it's not too late for God. He's risen. He's going ahead of us. And He's calling us to follow. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, so often we're stuck in our own tombs. We think that's where the story ends. And we lose hope, not realizing that you've emptied the tomb. And you are walking ahead of us and calling us into a new reality, a new future. May the truth of the resurrection today become our truth. And may we follow your Son Jesus into a place where nothing is impossible. We praise you for the victory over death and finality, and for the hope we have in your risen Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.